back when I was taking my exams, the Nuktam exams, they call them, the Dharma expert exams. One of the sections of the exams would be a little Dharma talk. They'd give you a quote from the canon, and you were supposed to have memorized other quotes from the canon. You'd write a little talk on the topic that they had set, and you'd bring in, the first year you'd bring in one quote, and the second year you'd bring in two, and the third year you'd bring in three. You had to memorize them both in Pali and in Thai, and give the citation. And there were a lot of novices who could just reel them off. There was a whole book they had of about 500 quotes that you could draw on. And they'd reel them off, 10, 20, 30. I realized I was at a disadvantage because I couldn't memorize that many. But I figured I'd be better off if I just memorized a few that would be useful in all circumstances, regardless of the topic. You could pull these in. I've mentioned before one of them. If you see that there's a greater happiness that comes from abandoning the lesser happiness, the wise person will abandon the lesser happiness for the sake of the greater. There are a handful of others that I memorized. The other two that I remember, one was that the self is its own mainstay. Who else could be your mainstay? That was one, and the other one was heedlessness is the path to death, and heedfulness is the path to the deathless. Those ideas stand you in good stead regardless of what's happening. In other words, you realize you've got to depend on yourself, and it's heedfulness that teaches you that point. You see, there are dangers in the world, around you, in your own mind. And one of the big dangers is the way you go for lesser kinds of happiness, the ones that are going to let you down. So those are good principles to remember, even though you may not be taking Dharma expert tests. Life itself is a test, and you need something to rely on. They talk about how having a good fund of Dharma knowledge can hold you in good stead. Having listened to a lot, having remembered a lot. Those are the things that will come into your mind when you need them. That's much better than the things that normally come in our minds, like old commercial jingles. Songs from who knows where, random statements from who knows where. It is useful to read the Dharma and remember important principles. In fact, the Buddha listed that as one of the ways in which you can create a refuge for yourself. This rains retreat, we've been having a series of Dharma talks in the Sunday mornings, and what the Buddha called the Natakarana Dhamma. The qualities that make you a refuge. And it's good to reflect on them. I mentioned them briefly this morning. Be good to go over them again. There are 10 altogether, 5 having to do with your relationships with other people, 5 having to do with your qualities of mind that you're developing as you practice. Whether relationships, you look for admirable friends, people who are a good example in terms of their conviction, their generosity, their virtue, and their wisdom, their discernment. These are people you want to associate with, because if they're generous, they'll be happy to share their knowledge with you. And you can see the Dharma not only in their words, but also in their actions. And that becomes an example for you that you can follow, that you can imitate. So you want to spend time with people like this, because you pick up their habits, whatever good points they have, and bit by bit by bit, like Dogen's line, he says, it's like walking through the mist. Your robes get wet without you even realizing it. You pick up little droplets of Dharma as you associate with good people. In addition, you want to listen to what they have to say and remember it. Being eager to listen to the Dharma and having this store of remembered Dharma, that's an important refuge for yourself as well. Because if you're not eager to listen, the person is not going to be eager to talk. And you won't be hearing as much as you could. And if you remember what's been said, you can take it and think it over. This is one of the reasons why we memorize passages from the Pali. Even though it's not in our own language, you can think about the meaning as you go over it in your mind. It's good to have there in the background those chants we have in the evening with the translations. Those are especially good. Because given all the other things that are sloshing around in the back of the mind, it's good to have some Dharma passages that teach you heedfulness sloshing around there as well. And then there's the quality of being compliant. In other words, you take instruction, and even though you may not 100% agree with it, you give it the benefit of the doubt, and you put it into practice to see that which part of the mind is the one that objects. Is it the part that knows something, or is it part of your defilement? You're not going to really know unless you just put the defilement away, you put the objection away, and give it a try. Now you may find that it doesn't work. And ideally, if it doesn't work, you go back and ask the teacher. But before you ask the teacher, you try to think out, well, why didn't it work? What was the problem then? What might be a better alternative? In other words, you're not throwing all the responsibility on the teacher. You've got to take some responsibility to figuring out what's going wrong and what might go right. That's easy to instruct. That's what it means to be easy to instruct. Not that you just do everything unquestioningly, but you actually look and see, is it working, is it not? This is how you develop your discernment. And this is how you open your mind to learning new things. Then the final quality that deals with your relationships with other people is being helpful and the duties of the group. You see this here in the monastery all the time. There's always something that needs to be done. Something needs to be cleaned, things that need to be straightened out. Storms come through, wind blows things all around, we've got to clean it up. There's work everywhere. Now you don't want it to be so oppressive that you're doing nothing but work all day, but when you see that something would be helpful to the group, you contribute. You give a little time. Then you try to develop the skills that are necessary. Because some of the work that needs to be done is not just simple cleaning up. There's more skilled work that needs to be done. And if you have those skills, then you're welcome wherever you go. This is part of having an internal refuge, or being your own refuge, is the fact that you are welcome in all kinds of places. Not only that you can live in all kinds of places, but you're welcome there. So it's good to think about your relationship with other people, see how it fits into these five categories of finding admirable friends, being eager to listen to the Dharma, remembering what you've heard, being easy to instruct, and being as helpful as you can. Because not only are you going to be welcome in a place like that, but you create a good environment for yourself and other people. And that's a kind of protection right there. As for the five internal qualities that you develop in the mind, the first one is virtue. You hold by your principles, you hold by your precepts. You hold by your determination not to harm anyone. And of course, that means looking into your mind. That's the next step. Persistence. If you see anything that's going to be unskillful, that if you followed through with it, it would lead to unskillful behavior, you've got to figure out some way to abandon it. Replace it with something that would be more skillful, a better way of thinking, a better attitude. And you keep at this all the time. You're content with what you get in terms of food, clothing, shelter, medicine. This is actually one of the traditions of the Noble Ones, is that you are content with food, clothing, and shelter. And you're very careful in your relationship to these things. Because that, again, means that you can stay anywhere. And people can't threaten you. In other words, they say, if you don't do as I tell you, I'm not going to feed you. If you don't do as I tell you, I'm not going to give you this, I'm not going to give you that. You're immune to that kind of threat. And that's our refuge right there. We don't see it much here yet, but there are places in Thailand I've been where the lay people get upset at the monks for issues that have nothing to do with the Dharma at all. And they try to control them by withholding food. And if you haven't learned how to do without and learned how to be content when doing without, you are, in John Fung's phrase, like a water buffalo being led around by the nose. Wherever they pull you, that's the way you got to go. So learning how to be content is a very good form of refuge, both within and without. And finally, there are the qualities of mindfulness and discernment. Mindfulness, of course, builds on right effort and informs right effort, because you remember what's skillful and what's not. And in terms of your practice, you remember what's worked and what hasn't worked. That's a protection right there. And then finally, discernment is what enables you to make the distinctions you need to make between what's skillful and what's not, and how to make yourself eager and willing to do what's skillful. All of these things provide you with refuge, protection, not only from difficulties outside, but more especially from problems inside. You've got to have protection from your own greed, aversion, and delusion, because these things are a lot more dangerous than anything anyone else outside could do. Sometimes you have people coming here to the monastery and they're thrown off by the animals around, the coyotes, the snakes. They keep reminding them that the coyotes and snakes don't do much to you. Your mind is a lot more dangerous, a lot more poisonous. But if you train it, you can protect yourself from that danger and poison. So these are the qualities with which you fulfill that statement, the self is its own mainstay. You've got to train yourself to have these qualities. That way you can depend on yourself. That way you've got yourself protected. So it's good to make an inventory every now and then to go down the list to see in what areas you're still leaving yourself open to danger. Because to be your own mainstay, it's not only a matter of protection, it's a matter of inner strength. Train yourself so you can stay anywhere. You're welcome anywhere. Anywhere where there are good people. so you can take advantage of the protection that comes from being with good people, picking up their habits, and having those habits firmly developed in your mind, in your thoughts and your words and your deeds.